3. Scripture reading is from Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You may be seated.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. I'm thankful that we're able to gather and worship this Lord's Day, and know that the conditions are certainly unique out. Even for February, we don't typically have this cold of weather for this long, and snow and ice, and so, and they say more is on the way. We have planned on starting back Wednesday nights this week, but we'll see if that's able to happen or not with the snow forecast that they're predicting. So stay tuned to that. If we are able to, it will start at 6:45 with something for the young children, 5th grade and below, our Acorns to Oaks program, and then 7 o'clock for adults with the lesson and worship class till 7:45. I bet my morning was more exciting than your morning. We had some excitement this morning, I got to tell you, before we begin. I looked out, I was at the kitchen sink, and looked out, and our dog was walking across our pond. And I thought, well, that worries me a little bit that she could break through, our good golden retriever that we love, had for several years. But I thought, the pond's probably hard enough now, it should be all right. But we were keeping an eye on her, me and Brooke were watching her. And she had walked from basically the side of our house all the way across back toward the barn. And when she got about 20 foot from the edge, she broke through. And she was struggling. And so I go running out there. Brooke goes running with me. And here comes Austin. We had a rope. And I tied a rope on Austin. I was going to do it, but I thought, you're a lot lighter than me. There's a little bit of hope you won't break the ice. There's no hope I won't break the ice. So he was able to crawl out there. And didn't break the ice until he got to the dog. And then the ice broke, and I had a rope on him, and I started pulling him in, and him and the dog swam in. He said he really wasn't swimming. He was just kind of sliding over the ice, breaking it. So if Austin looks a little fresh this morning and just really awake, that's how he woke up this morning, by getting in the pond water this morning. But he warmed up, and I'm thankful for him that he was willing to do that, and all the other kids, they pitched in the house, and Amanda, and got everything ready for us to come rush back and get everybody warm, and everybody was safe. That's the main thing. You got to be careful in these type of conditions. There can certainly be a lot of danger on the roads and also in other type of activities, so be safe. But proud of Austin and that story I just had to share. I want to think this morning, it is Valentine's Day, and I want to think about love, and I want to look at it from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to focus on this phrase of speaking the truth in love, and think about how can we speak the truth in love. In this book, by a business leadership book, which also has some principles of kindness and faith, by Joel Manby, who was the CEO of, or I guess is the CEO of, the company that owns numerous theme parks like Silver Dollar City and the Ducks and things in Branson, and he was featured on the show Undercover Boss. But in this book, he has a chapter on truth and about the importance of speaking the truth. And he tells two stories here that I think are a good opening illustration. He tells about when he was firing one employee named Rex. And Rex was when he was working with Saab, the car manufacturer, and he was Rex was their head over technology, and he was not keeping up. He was always coming up with these big dreams, but it wasn't functional or practical for their dealerships, and it was causing a lot of problems. And instead of ever talking to Rex about this, instead of ever telling Rex the issues that were there, they kind of just dealt with them, and it was causing them to lose a lot of money until their, as he put it, our home was on fire, and they had to do something. So he told his lawyers, he said, prepare up a separation agreement and get that ready, and they're going to have to dismiss Rex. And the lawyers got that ready, and they faxed that over, but they sent it to the wrong fax number. They sent it to just a corporate office who got that fax number, and they saw Rex's name on it, so they immediately then faxed that to Rex's office. And he got this fax saying it was a separation agreement, saying he was getting fired, and he knew nothing about it. And he goes storming into Joel's office, very mad and very upset, saying, what is this? And Joel was trying to calm him down, trying to get him to relax a little bit, but he said the meeting went terrible, and he stormed out of the office. It was a terrible way of being fired. And he said he saw him in the grocery store a few years later, and he was intentional to make sure he went the other way so that Rex couldn't see him. Now, he said, we failed to speak the truth in love. Now, there's another employee that he tells about that happened 15 years later named Carl. And Carl was when he was working at the company's now Hirsch Enterprises. And he says Carl was one who they had met with three or four times and spoken the truth in love to him. They said, look, these are the issues. We need you to try to deal with these issues. They talked to him over and over about trying to deal with those issues. Had a record of that. And then it came time that those issues still weren't being dealt with. They were not of a moral nature. They were just of a business nature. But those issues weren't changing. And so they said, we need to go a different direction. So they called him in. They had a very, overall, very kind talk about that, an agreement, because it was not a shock to him. It was not a surprise to him. They offered him a severance package. They were able to make it a dignified situation. And he saw Carl in church. Actually, he said about 3 years later, he came by and was visiting their church, and he went up to him and he talked to him, how's your family? How's your new job? And he was very kind and very friendly. Now, what's the difference in the firing of Rex and the firing of Carl? Well, one involves speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth and letting the knowledge be out. When we think about this topic, it is a topic today that is greatly misconstrued, misunderstood, and confused. Our world does not want to deal with the issue of speaking the truth in love, especially when it comes to the biblical truth. And so notice the world's view of love. Let's look at verse 14 from Ephesians chapter 4. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Notice how Paul describes here the world's view. And I want to focus on the world's view of love. He says, first of all, it's like children who are tossed to and fro. Now think about how the world views love like a child. A four-year-old child is screaming, leaving the McDonald's play place and telling their parents, you don't really love me because you're making me leave, right? You're making me leave. And they're crying. They're upset about that. That's a child tossed to and fro. That's a child's way of thinking is, Mom, you don't love me because you won't let me stay in McDonald's play place. Or a teenager who says to his parents, you don't love me because you won't let me go be with my friends on a Friday night. Or you don't love me because you are taking away my phone. That's a childish view of love, isn't it? But that's how our world often views love. We use love in a sense that if you love me, you're going to give me this. It's a childish view of love. But notice Paul goes on and he says three things about this type of view. He says it is carried about by every wind of doctrine. This is how the world has twisted the doctrine of God's love. God's love is one of the greatest doctrines in all the Bible. In fact, it is the doctrine that is going to be on every pages of Scripture about how God loves you so much. He created you. He has prepared a plan for your salvation going all the way back to Adam and Eve's sin and His plan to redeem the world through sending His Son. God's love is demonstrated ultimately upon the cross of Calvary and Jesus dying for us. And God's love is demonstrated in His good, righteous gifts He gives to us every day. God's love is seen in the church. God's love is a great doctrine. Think about how the world uses God's love. The world says, well, God loves me, therefore He wants me to be happy. He approves of this action, this sin I'm doing, because God loves me. God loves me. Hey, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to worry about my life or my actions. Why? Because God is love. Well, the world says God loves all people. In fact, most people in our world today, in our pop culture, talk about everybody goes to heaven. Everybody, you're like, who dies lost anymore? I mean, when have you heard someone say they were not a Christian, they died lost, or they may not be a Christ follower at all, but they die and the world says what? They're in heaven. There's no fear of hell. There's no recognition or reality of hell. No one dies lost anymore. Why? Why does no one die lost anymore? Because God is love. We have a quasi-universalism in our world today that basically just says God is so loving, He's going to accept everyone. That is a wind of doctrine that our world has believed about love, and it is a false doctrine that has been used by Satan to try to get people to believe it doesn't matter how I live because God is so loving. God is so loving. Every wind of doctrine. But then he says cunning deceit. That is that the world has changed the word love into a deceitful term. For example, many today will say things like, we need to make love, when they refer to an illicit, immoral sexual relationship. We've taken something that is wrong, that should be called fornication, should be called sin, and what does the world call it? A cunning, deceitful term. We are going to make love. Two people are in love. Two men are in love. Two women are in love. They are in love. Therefore, they should have the right to be married. They should be able to be in an approved homosexual union by our culture, by our world. Why should we do that? Because the culture says they are what? In love. How could we refuse the idea that two people who are in love can't live together? So you have a cohabitation at a huge rate where people just live together. Why? We're in love. We live together. We're in love. We have the privileges without the commitment. We have the relationship without the bond. Why? What does the world say? We're in love. We're in love. That is a cunning deceit. That's taking a word that was meant to be a holy, sanctified, sacrificial thing of love and saying it's what happens in a bedroom. It's what happens in a homosexual. It's what happens when emotions are there. Paul says that's cunning deceit. But then he goes on and he talks about one other term. Here he says that love is also viewed by the world in a craftiness of deceitful schemes. Craftiness of deceitful schemes. The idea here is that love is not mixed with truth. It can become cruelty in disguise. If you take love, just the emotion, and you separate it from truth, that's a crafty scheme. That's a scheme by Satan that he has deceitfully come up with this plan that he can take love and separate it from truth. And really, that's cruelty. Let me illustrate. For example, people say, you really care, you're not going to deprive some. If we really care, we're not going to deprive someone of truth that will actually help them. For example, if you knew this building was on fire, but the fire was over here, would you come in and tell the rest of us? It would be your obligation to tell the rest of us, right? That if you knew something that was helpful to us, that would save our life, you have an obligation to share that truth out of love for us. In fact, even sometimes it is unethical, it is illegal for you not to share a truth with someone because of your love if it is going to help them or save them, right? When we think about this, truth in our world is the problem because truth doesn't exist in our world, right? Everything is relative. Love in our world means, this is an important statement, love has been denigrated. Love has been denigrated to simply affirmation. It has been dumbed down to I have to affirm everybody. Love means encourage someone, support them in whatever they're doing, however they're living, whatever lifestyle choices they're making. It has even become socially unacceptable or even illegal to confront someone about what they're doing that is wrong. Don't ever disagree. In our culture today, we are told never disagree. Because if you disagree or you were to say to someone, look, the choices you're making, the decisions you're making, maybe the person is dealing with a gambling or alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or whatever you're dealing with or some of the other problems I was talking about in the with immorality in relationships. And if you say to them, look, I care about you and the decisions you're making, the direction you're going is going to harm you. And I know from my experience, I know from my life, and I know from the Word of God that this is wrong and this is dangerous. Well, what right do you have to judge me? You're being judgmental. You're being harsh. It's terrible where we live in a world where you can't say, in our culture, it says you can't say that something that's going to separate you from God, that could send you to eternity in hell, you're not supposed to talk about. Don't talk to people about Jesus. Don't talk to people about the need to get their life right. Don't talk to them about the need to repent. Don't do that. You'll be judging. You might offend them. If you tell them about Jesus, you tell them about how they need to change their life, you might offend them. And offending people in our culture today is the worst sin. Don't judge anybody. That's what the world says. But brethren, I would say that's cruelty in disguise. That's deceitful. That's cunning deceit. That's love that's been denigrated to affirmation. Let me pat you on the back. I know what you're doing is going right down into a blind ditch. If the blind lead the blind, they're both on the ditch, Jesus says. He's saying, hey, you're running in a ditch. Just go ahead, run in that ditch, buddy, but I love you. I love you. You're going toward a train. You're on a railroad tracks, driving right toward a train. The train is coming, but I love you. Keep driving, buddy. Well, that's ridiculous. But that's what our world does today. You see, we have to reject this idea and understand that Paul is teaching us that it's actually a loving thing to speak the truth in love. Reading about raising kids and talking, this book I was reading was talking about how in the 70s and 80s it really became a big thing in parenting philosophy to emphasize self-esteem in children. And there's been so much emphasis about you've got to make sure you think about the self-esteem of your child. And the authors of this book said what that has led to is a lot of spoiled children who have good self-esteem, but they don't have self-respect. They don't have self-discipline. They don't have self-control because everything's been about them and they haven't learned to understand they have to work and function in a world about others. Speaking the truth in love. Coming back to this idea that love, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, the Lord disciplines us out of love. So we have to reject the world's view of love. And therefore, we've got to, back to Ephesians chapter 4, after Paul talks about verse 14, he says there, rather than having that view of love, rather than having that view of the world, rather Christians speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It's a challenging thing. Notice, let's break this down. You've got to know the truth. In order to speak the truth, you've got to know the truth. John 8, 31 through 32, the truth will set you free. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and following, Paul will list off this core knowledge and doctrine of the ones. He says there, verse 4, there's one body, one spirit. You're called in one hope that belongs to your one call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is some basic things that are truth. You see, the big thing that causes everybody to think so much about you can't judge anyone is this basic world foundation that says there are no moral absolutes. That there's not a moral right and wrong that's above all of us. And we as Christians totally reject that. We say there is a moral right and wrong that is above all of us, and one day we're going to give an account for that moral right and wrong. You're going to be judged, 2 Corinthians 5:10, upon every good or evil deed that you've done in your body. You're going to give an account of that, and there are some good deeds and there's some evil deeds, and you're going to be judged based upon that. So you need to have a Savior so you can be cleansed of those evil deeds. You got to know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Later on in chapter 17, verse 17 of the Gospel of John, he said, your word is truth. The Bible is true. So we got to know the truth. We've got to understand there are some key things that we must know, and Paul lists off 7 of those in the ones. Later on in chapter 4, verse 25, he says, therefore, having put away all falsehood, put away all lying and falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. We've got to speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. You've got to know the truth. Now, sometimes that truth involves the Word of God, knowing what the Bible says, knowing the right doctrine. Sometimes it means, as Paul talks about here in Ephesians 4:25, discovering the truth as best you can in a relationship. Discovering the truth in a situation. I talked about opening my illustration. The truth was that guy was causing the company to lose thousands of dollars and they had to deal with it. But they were afraid to tell him that, so they ended up firing him in kind of a deceitful way, hard way that caused a lot of hard feelings. The problem was he never really knew the truth because no one really spoke the truth to him. Someone needed to speak the truth to him. So you got to know the truth. Know the truth. Max Dupree says the first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. You got to know what truth is. So for a parent, truth may mean your child's not a sweet little 2-year-old anymore. They're a very disrespectful 6-year-old. Unless you start treating that child like a 6-year-old, he's going to be a 15-year-old disrespectful child. You've got to be open with the reality that this is the truth. You've got to know the truth. One of the big areas of problems with this comes in our culture, as I was talking about, is that the culture says there's no truth. So for me to share a truth with someone is to judge them. As Christians, we know it's only that truth that can set them free. So we got to know the truth. This is why we've got to study the Bible. But then we can't let the world define that truth or love. We've got to allow God to define it. But then we've got to speak the truth. So you know the truth? You got to speak the truth. You got to speak it. That is, the truth has to be communicated. Now, this may sound overly simplistic, but this is the great task that we have. Into our hands, the gospel is given. If we don't speak the truth, no one else will. What company out here, what group out here has the job of speaking God's truth? The government going to do that? Is Amazon and Walmart and all the big businesses, are they going to do that? What about the news media? CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all the news media, are they going to speak the truth? What about our good organizations like Rotary Club and Kiwanis and all those clubs? Are they going to speak the truth? Is that their job to know the truth and speak the truth? Well, in a sense, but not the Word of God truth. You see, the only group in all the world the only body of people, the only collective group in all the world that is given the responsibility and is the light, the candle is burning in our hands to speak the truth of God's word is you and me. No one else is going to do it. When people go to hell, when people are on their way to going to hell, the only people that have the responsibility of throwing them the lifeline, of warning them, as Joseph prayed, being that Ezekiel, that watchman on the wall, who is warning people, is you and I. Now we are struggling. I'm just talking about Christians are struggling because we live in a culture that says if you tell anybody the truth, you're going to be judged. The only thing you're supposed to do today, if you're a, quote, good Christian person, is love them. The problem is the world doesn't define love right. They define love by affirmation, by pat you on the back, go ahead and do what you're doing. Brethren, that's not biblical love. We're supposed to speak the truth to them, and it's the truth of God's word. And so we have that responsibility of telling the world about the word of God. That's why Paul would say the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is cruel, and I would even say sinful, not to speak the truth. In fact, it can be a lie, but that's not even where I'm going. I'm saying if we don't share the gospel, if we're not being missionaries as we go, the Great Commission, if we're not preaching the word throughout all the world and through our community, it's a sin. That's our job. And so we've got to speak the truth. Before going on that, this is a famous story, but I think it's worth repeating again. A few years ago, atheist Penn Jillette, who of the famous magicians Penn and Teller, told this story. And a few years ago, he recorded this video, and it was about a guy about his age who had participated in one of his magic shows as an audience member, and afterwards he kind of came backstage for a meet and greet, and the guy held out a book, New Testament with Psalms, and he told him, he said, I want you to have this. Told him his background. He said, you know, I'm not a what the world thinks of as a crazy religious fanatic. I'm a businessman. I have family, all these things. But I want you to know that this book is the most important book in all the world. And he wrote in the front of it and he gave it to him. And here's what Jillette said about that. He said the man was kind and nice and sane. And he looked me in the eyes and he talked to me and he gave me this Bible. And I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. We would say probably evangelize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there's a heaven and a hell, people could be going to hell or not going to eternal life or whatever you think. It's not really worth telling them this because that would make it socially awkward. Now listen to this. Remember a guy professed atheist. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate someone to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Isn't that true? I mean, we've got to speak the truth. We've got to speak the truth. It's up to us. Speak the truth evangelistically, but speak the truth when it comes to moral issues. When we see someone and they're giving us opportunities to speak into their life. We're their family. We're their friends. We're their mentor. We have the opportunity to speak in their life about some problem we know they're going on in their life that the culture says is all right. The culture says, well, that's love. You need to just affirm them. No. Be the voice of God. You may be God's man or woman in that situation to speak the word of God into that person's life. And if you don't do it, their conscience may never be pricked. Then the Word of God may never have a hearing in their life because God puts you there to do it. As a dad or a mom or a grandma or a friend or a coworker, you're that man. You're that woman. But do it. Speak the truth. Notice the last part. in love. Speak the truth in love. Don't pull the Bible out and bang them over the head like it's a hammer. Do it in love. Don't do it arrogantly in a way that says, I know more than you. Apparently you hadn't read the Bible lately. Don't do it in a way that says that I am holier than thou, I am better than you, and if you would live this way, you wouldn't be having this problem. Do it in a way that says, I love you. I care about you. And I'm doing this out of humility and out of love for your soul. Speak the truth in love. And so we first examine our own life. Remember Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says the famous passage, judge not that you be not judged. But the context of this is not telling us that we can never speak into someone's life the truth of God. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Understand that whatever measure you use, it's going to be coming back on you. You have the same standard. For why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? You've got to look for your own problems. For how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Before you speak the truth, make sure that you've looked at your own life. When you consider your own failures, your own sin, your own need for salvation, and you do that with humility, it allows you to love the other person in the right spirit. Because you've examined your own life and you realize that there's been some logs in your own eye. And maybe you've been able to be helped by other people to help you get those logs out. But you, as you help others, do it in a way that says, I love you. But then also notice that Paul, as he writes this, speak the truth in love, love those in sin. Paul didn't love as the world loves. Hey, I encourage you, just keep that out. I'm not gonna tell you. No, when you think about 1 Corinthians 5, when the man was involved in sin, Paul told the church to discipline him, to disfellowship him, so that, verse 5, they could deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He said, give this man over to Satan, that is, cut him off from the church, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Do this so that the man could still be saved. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul is dealing with his brother Peter, the great apostle Peter. And Peter had been showing partiality, but Paul, in loving Peter, will confront him to his face. Paul didn't go behind Peter's back and say, let me write some letters about Peter. Let me tell the church in Jerusalem about Peter. Now, when Paul had to talk to Peter about the problem Peter was doing, who did Paul talk to about it? Peter. He went and spoke the truth in love to Peter because Peter was the one who had the problem. He didn't go around him. He didn't talk about him. He went to him. And later on in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 6, Paul will say, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith. How does faith work? Through love. Faith working through love. Later on in verses 13 and 14, Paul would say, for we are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul is talking a lot about love. And then look at verse 22. Paul will say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit of the Spirit's love. Paul loved people, but he spoke the truth to them. In the book of Romans, Paul would write to the Jerusalem or to the Jewish brethren and talk about them in this situation and his great love for them. And he says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have a great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen. Paul wept for his brethren. He loved them so much he was crying for them. And he even said, I wish that I could be cut off and they could take my place. When you love someone like that, you see, we have to speak the truth to one another in our marriage. Speak the truth to one another in our families. Speak the truth to one another at work. When it comes to speaking the truth, we must do that, but we must do it in love. I heard a story this week about a student at Fried Harmon who was telling one of the teachers, this was in open forum, they were talking about it, and he said, I owe my faith to the love of the church in the place where he was from. And he said, that church, where my parents were in sin, they exercised church discipline on them and rebuked them and tried to get them to repent, and they wouldn't do that. And so they would send cards to them. And he said, I remember my parents ripping up those cards and just being mad about it. And he said, this went on for a while. But over the several years here, they continued to send cards. They continued to let them know they loved them and they wanted them to repent. And he said, eventually it got where my parents wouldn't rip the cards up. They would open up the cards. They would read the cards. And as the time went by, their heart softened and they came back to the church and were restored. And he said, then I was raised in the church. I owe my faith to those people who continued to love. They spoke the truth in love. And so as we live our lives, we have to speak the truth in love. Don't let the world on this Valentine's Day, don't let the world define love. Let the Bible define love. And speaking the truth is sometimes what we're called to do as one of the highest forms of love. You see, we do it out of love because we care. And to refuse to speak love, to speak truth, is cruelty in disguise. And so notice Paul going on. Paul will talk about how when the truth is spoken in love, then everybody grows up in every way, verse 15, into the head who is the head, Christ. And then the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part is working properly. Every part of the body can work properly when the truth is spoken in love. When we are honest with one another, when we can understand one another, when we can be kind to one another. Then each part is working properly. It makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, when you think about your future, and you think about even sharing the gospel with someone, I want you to think about that original opening illustration. Which story do you want to be? Do you want to be the one where you're avoiding that person later on, dodging them in the grocery store? Or do you want to be the end of the story where he had spoken the truth in love and then he could have a mutual respect and understanding for one another and they could move forward in that relationship because the truth had been spoken in love? You know, there's been many cases where people have tried to talk to someone about the gospel and it in some ways changed that relationship. Or if they tried to talk to someone about a sin they were in, and it may not have, as we say, gone well. The conversation didn't go well. The person didn't repent or the person got upset. But how many times have you heard those stories and they'll say, but years later, 3 or 4 years later, sometimes 10, 12, 15, 20 years, they'll come back to me and they'll say, you know what? I am thankful that you cared enough to talk to me. I'm thankful that you love me that much, that you cared about my soul. And so many times that mutual respect that's earned through speaking the truth in love is able to lead to better things in the future versus over the immediate. And so speak the truth in love. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we want to speak the truth to love in you. We want to share God's word with you. We want to do everything we can to help you become a Christian. If you are a Christian and you feel like you need to be restored, need to be rededicated to the Lord, if you would, please come as together we stand and as we sing.